Today's program was brought to you by our friends at TechServe. www.techserve.com.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the Mother's Day edition of the Q Report. I'm here with Patrick.
Patrick Martins. How's it going, Ed?
I'm doing pretty well. Mark Marabella.
Hello, world.
Mark's beautiful wife and mother-to-be, and Patrick's beautiful mother. We're all here for our themed show called Your Mother.
Love and attraction.
We love moms. I mean, that's probably one thing everyone here at Roberta's has in common, right?
Well, everybody has a mother?
Yes.
Yes, I think that is true.
Still the case. The scientists are working on it, though.
It's true.
Yes, and our first guest will be coming up in a few minutes will be a scientist who has done brain research on why babies aren't killed at birth, which is something... has always baffled me.
That is essentially what she's working on.
Yeah. I think they still are in some countries, aren't they?
Yeah. Probably. Oh, only if they're the wrong sex.
Yeah, exactly.
Left by the river.
Then you can't really fault them.
No. No, I'm more... It's about the fact that you get this 9-pound squealing ball of need, which just, you know, is alien to me.
Exactly.
And then eventually becomes a large adult ball of need.
Well, yeah, but that's where we are now. We can't say anything bad about ourselves.
Well, it's going to be interesting. I mean, the brain, when you go to these carnal things, these genetic instinctive things, I mean, it's pretty interesting, some of the tests they did with the faces and seeing how people react to them, different baby pictures.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, another friend of ours had a baby recently, and I mean, she completely changed. She really didn't want children, but she ended up getting pregnant. And I mean, now it's her whole world. You know, it was a real shift. So, you know, the body does... know how to make sure you take care of what you make.
And then we have an obituary section, which a couple of big people, no pun intended, have passed away. Dom DeLuise is one.
Dom DiMaggio is another. We had two Doms go down this week.
Dom DiMaggio, wow.
Yep.
Also, Chuck Daly, the coach of the Bad Boys. He was a very well-liked coach.
Yeah, how did he die?
I think pancreatic cancer.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my mom. My mom had that, speaking of Mother's Day.
And I had, that's very sad. I mean, we should say Mark's mom is not with us any longer, and that's...
It's okay. She hasn't been with us for a while. It's not that sad.
And then we're also going to talk with... my mother's going to be a guest... Then we're going to have, her name is Renee Gerson. She can be a guest in 6 languages. And then we will have Gabe on, who will talk a little bit about attraction and mothers and Mother's Day, basically.
He's got a fantastic story, Gabe, about, and he was telling me earlier about his mom and his father, which we'll hear later.
Can't wait to hear that.
From New Mexico.
Excellent. Well, Mark, I think Melanie is ready to go.
Wait. There's
Melanie?
One
Let
more.
Let me introduce Melanie.
There's one more food thing. There's one more segment, no?
Yeah, well, if we have time, I'll be bringing up a movie coming out this summer called Food, Inc. Basically about our bad habits and how we can get better. But what I'm really curious about is, you know, it seems like a movie that'll be preaching to the converted and how to reach out to get it seen and heard by more and different people. So but that will be later if we have time.
Yes.
Food Inc., if you guys aren't, for those loyal fans, we talked about it in the first week. We're going to talk about it again. Has it been released yet?
No, it's sometime this summer in July, I believe.
It's a really good, it's good that we talked about it specifically in the first week, that it was participant who's distributing, and they have the Social Alliance, so you can sort of join up and have screenings and that kind of thing, be involved in the process of it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a sign the petition. I mean, it's all part of the Child Nutrition Act, and you can go to foodinkthemovie.com, and this Child Nutrition Act is a very important thing about feeding our kids food fit for human consumption.
I guess they're probably after more than ketchup being a vegetable.
Well, we talked about how these people couldn't distinguish dog food. They did a blind taste test, and out of 18 people, only 3 people could detect when they were given the dog food. But more, just we have 30 seconds before we go to break, 30-second break, and then come on with your guest. But according to Miami Television, Nancy Simoes was frying 3 pieces of salami in a skillet for breakfast when she flipped one of them over and found a G on it. The other 2 had an O and a D on it. So that's a...
It's very deep.
Religious is wrong, that Bill Maher documentary. He was completely wrong, as proven by this.
Yes, I like it when my omnipotent God talks through, you know, French toast and pancakes.
Yeah, that's good. That goes along with the grilled cheese Jesus. Is that the one?
Yep.
So I'm not sure how many seconds we have left, but it's probably like 5 or 10.
Was that also related to, you know, God spelled backwards? Is that related to the dog food, or was that just 2 completely different stories? Because it could be related. Does she have a healthy, shiny coat as well?
She might. Well, we will cut to break. And
very good.
Come back.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried. One and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried, Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied.
Hi, welcome back to the Q Report. This is Mark Morbella. We're coming to you live, at least today we're live, from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, with co-host Patrick Martins.
Hello.
And Ed Grant.
Hello.
And we're going to bring on Melanie Glocker, who is a PhD grad student at University of Pennsylvania, studying some very interesting things about different takes on motherhood and attraction, love and attraction. Melanie, are you there?
Yes, hi, Mark.
Hi, thanks for being here. Tell us where you're calling from today.
I'm actually calling from Germany. I was a visiting graduate student, like a visiting scholar at Penn, at the University of Pennsylvania, and right now I'm back to my hometown in Münster, Germany.
Fantastic. Münster, from famous for the cheese?
They have good cheese
actually
there,
not,
right?
No. The cheese is from Alsace, but yeah, usually people ask that.
It's typical American. They probably renamed it.
So, Melanie, thanks so much for being here. So, tell us a little bit about your research. It's pretty interesting. We're going to try to get the photos on the website, but tell us about what you were studying.
Okay.
First of all,
thanks for having me in the show. So you already said my overall interest is the biological foundations of human caregiving. And what I did in my research so far, I'm interested in what makes an infant attractive or cute to other individuals, and the extent to which the infant attractiveness or cuteness may elicit caregiving responses.
So, why were you attracted to it, so to speak? What made you think of doing this research, and how did you go about sort of making it into research?
I mean, a lot of research. I'm in general interested in neurobiology of emotions. I think my fascination probably comes from that different fields cross there. That you have philosophy, psychology, biology, physics, a range of different disciplines crossing there. And then most of the research that has been done on emotions so far has been done on negative emotions. I mean, as you said, you also had a lot of topics on fear, etc.
Right.
And, I just think it's kind of a pity. I mean, you also need to look at the positive emotions, because ultimately, the welfare of individuals is the balance between positive and negative emotions. So if you only have the absence of negative emotions, you may still not have good welfare.
Well, that's
the overall idea behind it.
That's why we have you on today, because we need a little positive brain energy.
Yes.
So at least the absence of negative.
At least the absence, right, at least for now. How do you measure cuteness? What the heck is that? How do you measure that?
So what I measured is called baby schema, and this is actually an old ethological concept from the first described in the 40s. So it's known for a very long time. But the studies that have been done in the 60s investigated this baby schema, which is a set of infant physical features. I mean, pretty much everybody's aware of baby schema features. Those are big eyes, round face, large forehead, chubby cheeks, plump body shape, short and thick extremities. So those are the features that may an infant make an infant look cute. And what I did, I manipulated those features in photographs of infant faces, which was new because that way you have direct relevance for adults' perceptions of infants.
And did you studied both men and women for this, correct? Men and women subjects who were looking at the skin.
Mark, sorry, I'm not hearing you well.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
Do you study men and women?
Yes. So I manipulated those baby faces and I produced infant faces with high and low baby schema values. So high baby schema faces were characterized by big eyes, small nose and mouth, a round face, and high forehead, and low baby schema faces were characterized by the opposite. And then I looked at men's and women's responses to those high, low, and unmanipulated baby faces, and I did find that the cuteness perception is not significantly different in men and women, so that was similar from the perceptual point of view, but we did find differences in motivation for caregiving.
So do the ugly babies get left out? To get back to the dark side, is that part of what happens? We talked about this yesterday, actually. The cuteness goes both ways. Is this an evolutionary design where cuter babies have developed, or we've developed a tendency? Is that why you want to chew on those cute baby thighs? Is that what it is?
I'm not sure that I understood your question.
The cuteness, the evolutionary design, evolutionary. What came first, the cute baby or our attraction to it, or kind of both developed at the same time?
Yeah, we discussed it. I think it's difficult to say. I mean, usually, there is some evidence that these cute baby features may just be a result of anatomical constraints in the baby. For example, that the teeth are still in the jaw, etc. And that the brain is already almost fully developed, but the face size not. That way you have this big skull. You may expect that maybe then once there was this positive response towards those features, there may have also been like a selection pressure
So did you find... Go ahead. Did you...
To have an advantage for the very cute babies, but yeah, it's probably both ways. Usually it's difficult to reconstruct because it's purely theoretical.
So Melanie, we're going to take a break in about 20 seconds. We're going to come back and talk about the differences, if you found any, between men and women, which I think was pretty interesting, some of the things that you studied.
Great.
Okay, we'll be back in a little bit.
Yes.
I need love to ease my mind. I need to find someone to call mine. But mama said, can't hurry love. No, you just have to wait. She said, love don't come easy. It's a game of give and take. Can't hurry love. No, you just have to wait. You gotta trust, give it time. No matter. How many heartaches must I stand?
Okay, for those of you who haven't memorized every episode of The Simpsons, that was from the seventh season, Lisa's a Vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And they're at a petting zoo, and they see a series of sheep who get smaller, their heads get bigger, their eyes get bigger, and it's a wonderful illustration of how the baby schema works in the realm of animation, but also in toys. And I'd have to say probably in dog breeding. A lot of the toy breeds are bred specifically for the very big eyes, very large forehead. And while it's a little off topic, I think it's, we can only control it so much with human babies, but we look for it in a lot of our life in other ways.
All those new breeds of dogs also are like super cute.
Yeah,
like,
they all,
you know, like Scotties and Dan, you know, they all those other dogs.
Yeah, but
like
the teacup chihuahua, I'm thinking of the most malformed to stay looking like a baby throughout its whole life.
And this will be a transition right back to the brain. My favorite Simpsons episode line was someone said Marge was about to go to court and she sees the judge walk in and her lawyer is all nervous. And she's like, why are you nervous about this judge? He's like, well, let's just say I kind of ran over his dog. And he's like, ah, that's not so much of a problem. He's like, well, substitute the word kind of with repeatedly and the word dog with son. So anyway, not that people who don't have beautiful features that they would get run over repeatedly by anyone, but that does bring me to my question. What kind of negative energy, like how does your study manifest itself in real life? Uglier babies might get put up for adoption more often? Or, like, how do you measure it?
I mean, that is something you should be careful with. I mean, my study shows that the cute... babies with more baby schema are perceived as cuter, and the study also shows that babies with more baby schema elicit stronger motivation for caretaking. But you also have to keep in mind that both of those responses are ratings and not like a behavior response. And I mean, that I think what the baby schema response is and what the study shows is that it is an intrinsic trigger, like biologically ancient trigger for cuteness perception and caregiving responses. However, that does not mean that the amount of baby schema does predict the actual behavior response.
So you're saying that
modulated by other factors.
Yeah, so you're saying that just because you're an absolutely adorable, cute, beautiful baby, you're not going to be taken care of better than, you know, some other baby who might not be quite as adorable.
Although with dogs, I notice, or people even, you're not maybe as close. It's that little thing like hot ladies get cabs faster than, you know.
Let's face it, high school starts right when you're right out of the womb.
Yeah,
it's
really.
The same thing. It's a popularity contest from start to finish, let's face it.
It kind of is.
Melanie, I don't think that's what you're trying to say. That's not what happens.
That's
right?
Exactly what she's trying to say, I think. Melanie, tell us a little bit about the difference, the sexual difference between men responses and female responses, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, so what we found is that in women, we did see a linear increase. That is, the more baby schema, the stronger was the elicited motivation for caregiving. That is, a high baby schema elicits the highest, then the unmanipulated, and then the low. And what we found in men was that we also found a higher motivational response for the unmanipulated than for the low baby schema infants, but we did not find any difference between the high and the unmanipulated infants. So we did see a plateau there. So basically we did see like a less selective reaction in men than we did see in women, which could be advantages. I mean, given that women are the primary caregivers in most societies,
Yeah, especially for Mother's Day, right? And men are very visually, you know, they respond greater.
Mark, I'm so sorry. I have trouble hearing you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. But men classically also are much more responsive to visual stimuli, so they could be more sensitive to it in that way as well.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, well, I mean, it's very, very interesting. I mean, I've always wondered if, I mean, why do you think, like, even in adulthood, do you think money complicates things? Like, once someone has enough money, they can overpower kind of, like, looks or anything like that?
Rudolph Giuliani's had three wives.
he sort of looks baby-like.
I mean, I think there are so many other things besides for money that may overpower looks. I mean, as I said, like with my studies, there are indeed studies showing, for example, that cute infants are also rated as more likable, etc. There are studies showing that attractive infants may receive more attention or care. But as I said, I mean, there are many other factors. For example, the caretaker's familiarity with the infant, like the bonding, which also I think fits perfectly in your topic of the Mother's Day. I mean, all these findings that I'm reporting on baby schema actually is not restricted to the mother-infant bond, but this goes, the baby schema response transcends kinship. So I think when you have the strong emotional bond from a mother to a child, this certainly overrides attractiveness responses.
It's true. We've seen it in all the cartoon characters and stuffed animals and E.T., classically designed as such to be cute and adorable. Everybody responds to it. It is a very innate response. Did you do studies with fMRI at all to see what part of the brains are letting? It must be a very primal part of the brain.
Yeah, that's really an interesting question, and that's one of the next topics we are going to address. This should be fascinating.
Hmm. Well, thank you so much for being in. What's the weather like out there in Germany? We have like 30 seconds left. What's the weather like over there?
It's beautiful, and it's lovely because I've already seen my mother today, too. I brought her roses. We were sitting in the garden.
Oh, Archie, just
the
wonderful daughter.
We were having a nice day.
It's nice to know Hallmark has affected Germany, too.
Is it Mother's Day International? I thought it was just a national. Is it international?
Wherever the U.S. Postal Service goes.
We should also say that, you know, Mother's Day was originally a workers' holiday, as usual. Started way back when. But, Melanie, thank you so much. We hope you'll be back to finish more work at UPenn.
I will do some more work. So maybe we can get back in touch.
We would love
with
to.
Some of the actual results.
Thanks.
Yes, thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, thank
Melanie.
You so much.
Thanks, Melanie.
Bye-bye.
You are on the road, must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by.
Hey everyone, we're back with the Q Report. I'm Ed, I'm with Mark and Patrick. How you doing, guys?
Hello, thanks, Ed.
So we're into the sad passings phase of our show, and I'd like to start off actually with a poor guy who was overshadowed in life, even though he was an outstanding baseball player, and unfortunately, kind of left behind in death also, because he shared Dom as a name. And this week we all know Dom DeLuise died, but I'm referring to Dom DiMaggio, the younger brother to Joe, seven-time All-Star for the Red Sox, played center field. So I just wanted to give the guy a little bit of a shout-out to say, hey, man, you know, you weren't completely forgotten this week.
What position did he play?
Center field.
Wow.
He was just like the wrong era.
Yep.
He would have been. He was pretty good actually. 298.
Yeah, 298. Seven-time All Star.
He would have been a eight-figure salary, but
didn't he go out with a woman named Mary Monroe?
Exactly.
No, but he did tell his sons, or actually, he actively discouraged his sons from playing baseball because he had such a hard time with his brother Joe's fame. He was like, there's just no way these guys could even begin to live up, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, he was Mr. Demitas, apparently. Always the second fiddle.
Yeah, they called him the little professor because he was kind of small and he wore glasses.
He also didn't have big eyes. And
he ironically played for Boston versus
Oh, yes, no,
exactly.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Poor Dom. Yeah. Passing
a no, but I mean, I don't mean to belittle his passing. I mean, but that is a tough brother.
Well,
to
he was
to.
The ripe old age of 92, so, you know.
Yeah, he lived a long time, actually longer than his brother, probably. Yep. Yeah.
And then we have another sports legend, Chuck Daly from the Bad Boys. And I actually saw a really interesting interview with him, you know, because people blame the Bad Boys for kind of toughening up basketball, hard fouls, the Jordan rules. They created the Jordan rules that you can't be too mean to Michael Jordan. And he was interviewed at the end, and he was just like, that was the only style we were going to win with.
Yeah.
You know, and, it was about bringing the championship to Detroit.
And they did. And
they won twice, repeat. They repeated, the Lakers repeated, and then the Bulls went on there. They inherited the...
Can we blame them for our recent Knicks general manager, too? Or is that... Does it extend that far? Or is think, the Bad Boys brought to New York and became the sort of...
the problem
the
with the
boys?
Knicks is, I think, far deeper than just that.
Well, he's gone now anyway, so...
And then our third person is Dom DeLuise. I mean, he's the big guy. And Mark, did you know Dom, or did you...
No, but he was... I feel a great affinity. I mean, I always loved him. He's a Brooklyn born and raised.
Father was a garbage man.
Really? I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to Gabe, actually, of Roberta's fame, and he was telling me that there's some place in the East Village where they started doing, like in Hollywood, where they have impressions on the sidewalk, and there's like four of them. One of them is Dom DeLuise.
Oh, my God.
Which is probably like pretty far in. He probably went all the way to the bottom of the stone, I'm sure, the graded stone. He was a very large man. He looked a little bit like Don Perdomo too.
They looked a lot alike.
Yeah, they looked very similar, but he was hysterical. He was always funny.
Dominic the Great.
I loved him in Silent Movie, actually. That was my favorite. That was one of my favorite movies. A lot of Mel Brooks movies.
Right.
Cannonball Run. And then famously hit the Burt Reynolds sidekick. Everybody said they laughed so hard with him all the time. And it seemed like he was just fun to be around.
Well, Dominic the Great, he did a riotous act with Dean Martin where he was a magician, but he always got everything wrong. And he always had this sign, no applause necessary, save to the end. he was also in Fatso, a movie about someone who's dieting, you know, because he fell in love with someone. But one of my favorite movies of all time was The Cannonball Run.
Yeah.
Do you remember that movie?
Of course. Absolutely.
It had the
Rat Pack, or some of the Rat Pack.
Yeah, well, it had everyone in it, every star going. Even Jackie Chan as a young man was in it.
It was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. It's sort of like an extension from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World. It was like
Which he was also in.
Which he was also in. That's right. That's right. Exactly.
But
honestly, he was fantastic.
Cannonball Run was true. I mean, it was almost a documentary. You know, they based it on stories of the actual people who did the race to protest the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. And Burt Reynolds' character was J.J. McClure, which is like Troy McClure, you know, kind of like the absurd
You might remember
version.
Me from...
confidence, stupid.
So, of course, Burt Reynolds' partner... was Captain Chaos, which was Dom DeLuise, who was actually the end of the race was determined by a Dom DeLuise move. But I wanted to test you guys on a couple of things before getting to the end. Do you know what vehicle they drove, Dom DeLuise and Burt Reynolds, the vehicle they used?
Well, it wasn't the Lamborghini because he couldn't get into it.
It wasn't the Trans Am?
No, it was an ambulance.
Really?
A doctored up ambulance, which I think stayed true to the original story.
I didn't realize that. I haven't seen that in a while. I have to rent it.
I haven't seen it since I was like 14.
Yeah, Cannonball Run. And there was Cannonball Run 2. Yeah.
This is an easy one. Who was Dean Martin's sidekick?
Sammy.
Sammy Davis
Yeah,
Jr.
And he played a priest, didn't he?
I think
he was fantastic.
So,
yeah. They were both, or did they just dress up
I
as
think
priests?
They were faking it, yeah.
Yeah.
Which member of MASH?
They're my favorite.
Which member of
Jamie
MASH?
Farr.
Jamie Farr at his own.
No question.
And there was a certain James Bond.
Yes, the bad 70s one.
Yeah. Roger Moore.
Roger Moore, right.
Who played a delusional Seymour Goldfarb who believes that he is Roger Moore.
It's fantastic.
It's very, very funny. And they started in New York City and then ended at Redondo Beach in California. But what I love about it is that even though they started at different times, somehow in the movie it comes down to a foot race. And Dom DeLuise's character of Captain Chaos is running down, but he hears that the hot chicks in the Lamborghini, like that one of their sons fell into the water at Redondo Beach. So he goes off course to save the baby. And that baby was later revealed to be a dog.
But I bet it had big eyes.
Cute features, yeah,
very cute dog.
Exactly. with cute features.
See, after all that race, cute features can go a very, very long way.
Okay, I'd like to also, since it's the obit section, I mean, it may be far in passing, but speaking that is Mother's Day, like a shout out to my mom, Patricia Antoinette Marabella, who raised me and bore me and bore me through my teenage years.
Poor woman.
It was good. She stuck by me, and you know, we still miss her, even though it's been a while. But I always like to remember her on this day, and maybe with my wife is now pregnant, and who knows, we might have a little Antoinette. We're still debating about the name, but we don't know yet.
Well, do you remember any special Mother's Day? Was that a big holiday for you and your mom?
Well, she, you know, I remember trying to make breakfast in bed for her several times, but failing miserably, or spilling coffee on her. And she's just like, don't bother, you know. She's like, let me rest. Let me sleep.
Very nice. Well, we will come back. Our next guest will be a mother. She also came from a mother. Her name is Renee Gerson. She's my mother. And we'll talk Mother's Day with her.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls? Should I run for president? Mother, should I trust the government?
We're back at the Q Report. Forgive my I'm a little bit of mumbly peg today.
I'm sorry, what was that, Mark?
Yeah, exactly. I got to lean forward a little bit. We're back at the Q Report on Mom's Day.
Hey, Ed, is Mark talking?
He's kind of mumbling, but he's been a busy boy, man. He's been
mumbling peg. I know.
Pumping out the work, all the docs, and doing a lot of writing.
I am very much in the throes of I am my own mother. I am delivering shows, although I'm not delivering humans. That's a far bigger production. And speaking of mothers, we have one with us today in the studio.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi, Patrick's mom.
Hi. Hi, you all. I'm very proud, very happy to be here with you.
Renee, we're so happy that you're here with us today. And there's so much you can talk about. Tell us, we're going to have mom stories, but tell us, did Patrick have a big, cute baby face when he was born? Did that immediately? Because he has his
actually,
big...
when they first brought him to me, I didn't know who the hell he was. And I was totally taken aback because I didn't particularly love him. And about 6 hours later, came back, it was just like an overflow. But you know, the first moment I thought he could be anybody's kid. I mean, but he was 9.5 pounds. He started eating pork from Heritage Foods right away. And Diet Coke, of course, or at that time it was Coke.
Yeah. Diet Coke, I think that time it was there any
Tab?
That was your big thing.
I want to make a comment. I was listening to your program, and one comment that I find so essential. Because somebody before, in the segment before this one, was comparing cultures of food and everything. And one thing that is so often forgotten in this country is the size of the portions. That is, when you have a steak, even if it's the best, and you can divide it, you know, for four people, the price, of course, comes down. So it is very good for our economic times. But also, when you leave the United States, the first thing that you notice is the amount of foods, the portions. Mm-hmm. And I find like in France, people are not afraid to serve the best, the most expensive, because they're not losing money. They're serving you a taste, a nectar.
But we need to get bigger so we fill our kitchens, houses, and cars. I mean, if we ate like the Europeans, we'd be lost in our, you know, Hummers.
Well, yeah, there would be no rich board members anywhere.
You really sound like a Frenchman speaking.
Well, Renee, it's funny you say that. Like, just this week, there was a study that came out that said that obesity, you know, they've been doing all these studies like, why is America obese? Is it the processed food? Is it and it turns out, big surprise, it's the portions.
It's only the portions.
It's purely
and
because we eat.
It's
we
not
eat
just
the
because
triple
we eat burger. Too much.
No.
We're also phenomenally lazy, and I put my hand up. I mean, it's like,
well, because you know. You have
but it's also
this
big
pink
portions.
Elephant shirt that holds you down, but the thing is that I've just learned a few days ago that the piece of meat that you should eat is actually the size of the palm of your hand.
Thank God I have big hands.
Now, yes.
What was the
this
first
is like
story?
Double meat cheeseburger, right there.
What was the first story we covered? Like the I forget what it is, but they were recommending a portion of meat, and it was like ridiculously small. Remember, I think it was on our first episode.
I don't remember.
Oh, the meatballs.
Four ounces. Well,
4 ounces. That's
yes,
what it's
that's
supposed
what
to be.
That's what you're supposed to be.
Well, I have wee tiny hands, so, you know. I'm like,
that's it. Good. That's why you're
can't
so...
Use, that's why he had to use a different...
Tall,
he uses
dark,
his foot.
And handsome. Yeah. Because of how small the palms of your hands are. Absolutely.
So what food culture do we come from? Like, what is our genetics?
Our family?
Like, what are we predisposed to liking? Like, yeah, our genetics almost. What
genetically, definitely, you know, Russian...
cabbage,
fattening cholesterol foods.
Blintzes
because
the Russian tea room. We used to go there all the time. Are there any good Russian restaurants in New York?
I don't. There are very few good Russian restaurants anywhere right now because the food was never great in Russia.
Their vodka was great.
Their vodka is still maybe okay.
Yes, it's still.
But I don't think that there is a great Polish culture of food. There is not a great culture of food in many countries in Europe.
It gets better as you go further south, usually.
Yeah.
Does Czechoslovakia have good food? That's kind of like that middle country that separates the east from the west.
Well,
they have good beer.
Yeah,
really
Hungary, for instance, has good food mostly because
of Austrian.
Yeah. Austria is the first country in that area that can have extraordinary sweets. They're not good for salty food.
The Germans have good chocolate. And,
yeah, Germans are good.
Oh,
yeah,
and cheese. And
all the reasons we're big as a people in America, pretzels, bread,
it's true.
Beer, sausages, you know, I mean, all that.
Yeah,
and
mustards.
You know that in
mustard,
French,
sauces.
A pastry shop is called Viennoiserie. It comes from Vienna because they invented all the extraordinary desserts. And the last emperor was a great lover of desserts, and they invented my favorite dessert, which is Kaiserschmarrn. And it's an extraordinary...
Excuse me. Is that what's in there? I'm sorry. Are you okay?
What is Kaiserschmarrn?
Kaiserschmarrn
is... Ask her by name?
Yes, you asked her by name.
It's spelled like it sounds.
I like it.
It's something that might be somewhat pancakey, but it's, and then it is covered in a very delicious plum sauce. It's quite special, and it's made to order for each person. So. Wow.
We only have like 30 seconds left. I want to know, back to me, when did you start loving me? I mean, you say you're only...
After 6 hours.
Before you change the subject,
you know,
I was like,
now,
who the hell is this kid?
And now you that never... you can shut me up for, what, 15 seconds?
Yes.
I will use this opportunity to say how... As,
I have
as
sound
it's,
effects.
It's Mommy's Day. How much I admire you. How much I enjoy the friends that surround around you, your producers that are just exquisite people, and the love has grown in these past 10 minutes or so.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'm happy I'm back on the good side.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, thanks. I'll see you at lunch at Roberta's Pizzeria and Restaurant after
and
we're done.
I'm most honored to have been asked to come. Bye-bye.
Well, bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
No, I would not give you false hope. the light for me. Remember a Saturday. I know they say let it be. Just don't work out that way. And the course of a lifetime runs over and over again. No, I would not give you false hope on this strange and mournful day. But the mother and child reunion is only
a... So we're back?
At the Q Report, which stands for quotidian, by the way. We never explained that.
It's quotidian. It's
daily, right?
Everyday culture.
You're saying we explain it every day?
No, you explained it to me last week, I thought.
No, I know, but we never explain it on the, for people who are just tuning in. But I'm here with Ed Grant and Mark Marabella, and we have a guest, Gabe Rosner, who's in studio with us.
Hi, everybody.
Where are you coming from today?
I'm coming from Roberta's Pizzeria and Restaurant.
261
Moore Street.
It's fantastic. Gabe is among the owners here at Roberta's. Gabe, it's Mother's Day, as you know.
And it's my mother's birthday as well.
It's fantastic.
Whoa, man, she's double dipping.
Double dipping.
Yeah, she's getting a little bit of a ripoff there because she's got
totally.
The... But it's good for you.
It's like being born on Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
You get the short end of that stick.
But you have a really fascinating... We were talking earlier about... You're originally from New Mexico.
I grew up in New Mexico.
The beautiful state of New Mexico.
Where? In Nogales or in
Albuquerque?
I grew
up in Santa Fe.
Oh, Santa Fe.
Okay. So beautiful.
So the nice, cultured
civil
park. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. I was just shooting there. I was talking about the firework. You guys had a little bit of fireworks here last night. Maybe we shouldn't advertise that.
What happened?
They had a little bit of party.
On the very roof of the building that we're standing and sitting in right now. We might have been shooting off.
But we were... I was there shooting in a place called Caliente, which Gabe knows, which is close to where you were...
I was
conceived?
Born?
Born?
Yeah, I was born in north of Santa Fe in a small town called Llano that not a lot of people know about.
How many people live in Llano?
Not many. It's one road. It's a mesa with one road. You get up there and you can turn left and it goes to the mountain, or you turn right and it's all hippies.
We were there in December.
Everything around Santa Fe's hippies.
It was freezing.
This is a few hours away.
Oh, okay.
It's even more hippies.
Wow.
Concentration. But like old hippies.
So are you saying your parents are old hippies?
Yeah, I was born on their pot farm.
Very nice.
In Llano, Santa Fe.
I guess they're probably artists also?
Of sorts.
Yeah.
And did you, being such a small town and living on a farm, I mean, did you have friends your own age, or were you hanging out with the family all the time?
We left the farm when I was pretty little.
Okay.
My brother had already was in the local school and stuff, and there were, you know, other hippie kids around. My brother really wanted to change his name to Bob Lopez when he was young, so he could fit in better at elementary school.
Now, you have a Mother's Day story that you were telling Mark. He was laughing.
Fantastic.
He hasn't told us, but he was laughing a lot.
Well, I had mentioned to him how my parents met in New Mexico. My mother's from the Bronx and my dad's from Chicago, but they both made their way to New Mexico. My mother was actually married when she moved to New Mexico. She was married to another man. And the two of them were driving and they got stuck in a ditch somewhere near Llano. And my dad, driving by in his truck, pulled them out of the ditch.
Sort of like the White Knight.
Yeah, absolutely. And definitely... made his way with that man.
Well, what
was
she going to do with a guy from Chicago and New Mexico? That totally makes sense, right?
I think, yeah, absolutely. You know?
Picked him up in a ditch. That's
there's big ditches.
Pulled him out of a ditch, and
that's how a lot of people end up in that part of the world. They're driving, the car breaks down.
She's
and
very
they just give
needy.
Up.
She's yeah, exactly.
It's scary. I mean, you know, you drive and there's nothing. There's just desert, and it gets cold. I mean,
it's the elevation's really high. It's,
yeah, you know, and there's nothing there, and that the sand can really suck it in.
So did you call your mother's for Mother's Day,
Gabe? Of course.
What did she say? Did you send her anything, flowers?
I'm actually going to visit her in a couple of weeks.
Ah, very nice.
For her, nice, for her man. Gift. I haven't seen my mother in a couple of years, man. I'm not a good son at all.
Terrible.
And you're close.
It's funny. My mother...
she's in Florida, man. That's too far.
Oh, that's right.
When she was in Vermont, I'd go visit.
Yeah, that's true.
She moved.
Right. I didn't know she moved.
Off.
Yeah.
Well, and do you have brothers and sisters, Gabe?
I've got a brother that lives in Los Angeles and a sister on my father's side that lives in Oregon.
Now, this is your first time on the network, but of course, Gabe's going to be on 100 times because he's an owner of Roberta's, but B, you have a fascinating job right now. You've worked with the city for years, right?
I work for the public advocate for the city of New York.
which was, I think, right after the mayor, is almost like second in command.
It's like second highest elected, I think, next in line.
That'd be Betsy,
if anything,
right?
That's Betsy Gopbaum.
You worked for Mark Green prior?
No, I've only been there for a couple of years.
Okay.
And now what do you do with Betsy? I mean, amongst the other things you do.
I've done lots of jobs in her office, but now I'm her driver.
Oh, that is nice. The coolest.
So did you bring her coffee and then got promoted to driver?
No, I was working in policy. Uh-huh. I was doing research and writing reports.
Like, and you got demoted as a driver?
No, I moved to the community affairs department. And actually, driving is my favorite so far. I get to drive a, you know, black police car. And
sweet.
Yeah, and everybody wants to go from job to job.
You get to put on the siren and all that?
You know, I'm not really supposed to. But.
Is it armored?
I don't think so.
No. Are we coming back with Gabe again? Because I wanted to hear about how he got involved with Roberta's.
Yes, no, absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Let's come back with Gabe.
Very good.
Great.
Back to the Key Report, here with Patrick Martins and Ed Grant and Gabe from Roberta's. So Gabe, thanks so much for being here. You guys are usually working on Sundays. I see you when we do the radio show.
I'm actually here just hanging out.
Cool. So
I'm strictly non-work when I'm here on Sundays.
Awesome.
Well, a lot of people just come here to hang out.
It's a very cool place.
All my friends are here.
It's a very cool place. The Morgan Avenue stop on the L train is where you have to go to
Six
get here.
Stops into Brooklyn, not
it's,
that far.
It's fast, actually. The L's a good train.
And the train's right around the corner.
It is. It's
super convenient.
Like so you don't have to scurry too far to
not,
get here?
Not too
we
far
just had a the green garbage, not trash. Wait,
the tree's not trash.
And they just planted a little... area that you can sit on your way from the subway in case it's too far.
Yeah, they're out there building benches.
It's pretty cool that they build benches along with the trees because everyone loves sitting outside.
Yeah, it makes sense, especially now. So, Gabe, we were interested to hear how you got involved with Roberta's because it's such a great collection of characters.
It is
here.
A really good collection of people.
Everybody sort of adds something to it. How did you become involved with these guys?
You know, Brandon was one of the first people I met when I moved to New York years ago, and it was just coincidence. Brandon Hoy was the bartender around the corner from my house, and we had, you know, he got me drunk all the time, so he and I were fast friends.
Were you in Brooklyn at the time?
No, that's in Manhattan.
You live on St. Mark's Place,
I do,
right?
Yeah,
that's a crazy street.
The bar's still there, but you know, it's not full of my friends anymore.
Is it Bua?
No, it was Odessa.
Yeah. It's amazing how important bars can be in bringing people together. Like Mark Doyle and I have a bar that we went to called Sparky's.
That's true, actually. I didn't think
so many of our friends that became tight were at that
it's
bar.
It's like 1,000 years ago, but
that's
true.
And they're closed, it's gone, it's done, but yeah, we still have very fond memories, you know, of a very formative bar experience.
And that's how Chris and Brandon met. I mean, they all worked at a bar. Anthony worked at that bar that's making pizza.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, I kind of see Roberta's as a modern incarnation of the medieval inn.
Yeah,
like absolutely. When you were between cities, if you didn't have an inn, you could die. I mean, because of the weather or because of attackers, you know.
This is definitely a destination. I mean, you can come here and eat and hang out and talk or drink, whatever you want to do, really. It's really wide open. Now that you guys have the patio open this year for the first time, it's beautiful weather out here, and we're looking out right now. The studio, if anybody comes to Roberta's, is right behind where the wall, one of the walls
of the patio, and we can look out, and you can look in and see us talking, and we can have you on as a guest if
and
you're interested.
And WNYC thinks they're all, you know, on top of it with their new green space. And, you know, we beat them to the punch by a good 2 months.
Where
man.
Is their new space?
Somewhere on Leonard or something. Because
it used to be
down.
in the same building as the public advocate's office.
Yeah,
on
really?
The top floor.
Yeah,
they moved one center. Yeah.
They moved it a few years ago.
Some it's super fancy, I guess. But, you know, they're talking about how great the green space is and everything. I'm like, hey, I've already done it.
Yeah. You know?
I mean, is it a shipping container too? I mean,
no,
nah, it's pretty
the garden
building.
On top.
No,
no, this is far cooler, far cooler.
And now there's expanding, right? I mean, are you guys going to expand your seating too?
I think there's going to be more. There's going to be more outdoor seating. More outdoor seating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's going on with the dirt square plot over there?
Going to pour concrete and build a
and make it really nice. Posh little.
It's going to be partly seating, and there's going to be another oven,
which is outdoor oven
being built built by the guys out here.
And it'll be part of a fanning out of the Robertas into
Absolutely.
The community.
It's very exciting.
Take out
you know what you guys should put in?
I carts.
Bet you being from New Mexico, you've already thought about this, but a chimenea or something. So like in the fall and
it's
the
pronounced
spring.
Chimney.
Just kidding. Or a fire pit. Be really nice there for when it gets a little cooler and people
that
can
would be great.
Gather around. Yeah.
What is great, a chimenea? Though.
It's a big ceramic outdoor fireplace, basically. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get a nice wood fire going. It radiates a really nice amount of heat. And it's really fun to hang out.
Yeah, it's cool.
I have to look into that.
Is the volume,
probably
against
I'm not, every
I'm
not
code,
sure what the regulations are on large outdoor fires in Brooklyn.
although there's not too much. This is industrial section, isn't it? I mean, you might have more opportunity to do so. Right?
I mean, I think we can get away with a lot. You can't see anything that's going on here from the street.
And it's amazing.
It's there's one way in through a giant steel door on a concrete building.
It's a fantastic approach. We were talking about that last week with Brandon. Like, the approach coming in, it's like you open up. It's like other world.
Yeah. Absolutely. Literally. And we're fully prepared for zombie attacks.
Yeah, I was going to say, when the zombies come, I want to be in here.
I tell all my friends.
I mean, we have food and wine.
It's true.
Great place for the last stand.
I'm just waiting to put in our guard tower out front.
Oh, I would man the guard tower on shifts.
Absolutely.
They're not getting in, but they probably won't be able to get the money out of that machine in the front either, because that thing's always, it's so hard to see in that thing.
And this place is always full.
And it's steel bolted and welded to the welded to the building.
Right.
So, Gabe, are there any political aspirations? I mean, should we be looking for you on the political scene one day?
I would like to get involved in local politics. Yeah.
Which you are already.
Which I already am.
Gardens and these guys, you're
to
like
to some extent. I think that I had a plan to get involved in city politics in that level that I am in my day job, and I don't think that's the way that it's going to go for me, because sitting in an office, unless it's my office, isn't how I want to be spending my days.
Yeah.
But the applications of what's going on here at Roberta's, I think, are limitless.
Mm-hmm.
And as time goes on, I think it can lead anywhere we want it to.
Yeah,
it's not just me. It's all of you guys. It's everybody inside.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like
the whole organization of people is
maybe that doesn't need government.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're getting a crash course in late night community relations also.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that crash course started a long time ago. In fact, it's lasted far too long at this point. I probably need to knock that off at some point.
One question, is the Volvo going to stay there, back there?
Mercedes.
Is it Mercedes? Yeah. Oh.
I don't know. Les, who's doing a lot of our building, he wants us to let him just take it apart, cube it with his giant angle grinder. And
then it'll turn into just like another fender in the bathroom or something
probably.
Like that. You have that window.
Maybe just take it half of it and stick it out front so you have a bit easier to find the place.
It is a great car. I mean, I bet. Could someone make it run again or no? Could a great.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Absolutely.
You drive motorbikes, right? I mean, you're used to building things.
I couldn't do it, but I'm sure we know someone that can.
Like Brandon. There's Brandon right outside. Opening an umbrella. With some difficulty.
Actually, he did pretty well, I think.
Yeah, no, he did very smooth. Well, this has been a great Q report. We have 60 seconds left. Ed, Mark, I mean,
shouts out to moms everywhere.
Yeah, of course.
Future moms,
Doily.
Thanks,
Mom. I want to say happy birthday to my mom on there and happy Mother's Day.
Hey,
she's
wishes.
Yeah.
And I have a request to our listeners, or from our listeners, something like that. Anyway, I would like people to email me at ed@heritageradionetwork.com. I would like to hear your stories on how you got into, you know, eating well, eating sustainably, and also any ideas and strategies any of you might have to reach out to a bigger audience, because I'm a little bit worried that we preach to the converted and we have to figure out how to reach out to other people. So please email me at ed@heritageradionetwork.com.
Do we have does your email have the bandwidth for all the influx of emails that you're going to get?
I mean, absolutely,
you have high speed, just making sure.
Our tech staff has guaranteed me that, and no problems.
Awesome. Well, this has been a great Q report.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, thanks for being on.
Thanks, Gabe.
Mother, do you think they'll drop the bomb? Mother, do you think they'll like this song? Mother, do you think they'll try to break my balls? Should I run for president? Mother, should I trust the government? Mama's gonna help build the world.